ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। वेलकम टू भागवत प्रवाह ऑनलाइन कोर्स ऑन द 10th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम। We have covered the first 19 chapters in the last few episodes, and today we will cover chapters number 20, 21, 22, and 23. So we will discuss the description of monsoon in Vrindavan, and later Venu Gita. Then in the 22nd chapter, we will see how Krishna has stolen the garments of young gopis in Vrindavan. And in the 23rd chapter, we will see how Krishna blessed the wives of Brahmanas who brought him their food with so much of love and affection. These are the four topics that we are going to cover today. So let's begin with the rainy season in Vrindavan, in the 20th chapter of 10th canto. So Sukadeva Goswami describes the rainy season in Vrindavan in a very wonderful manner. While describing various features of monsoon in Vrindavan, Sukadeva Goswami also gives very beautiful life lessons that are very relevant for our practical life. So during the monsoon, the sky is covered with dense blue clouds and thunder and lightning. So this is compared with the souls being covered with the three modes of material nature. Just as the sky is covered with clouds, the spirit soul is also covered with mode of ignorance or tamoguna. Just as the sky is covered with thunder sometimes, the soul is also covered with mode of passion or rajoguna. And sometimes the sky, you can see lightning in the sky, that is compared with the soul's covering by mode of goodness or sattvaguna. So later Sukadeva Goswami describes that during the monsoon, the clouds pour out lot of water. So this is compared with the merciful people, wealthy people who are very merciful. They give out everything that they have in charity to common people. Just as clouds give everything to them, everything to clouds contain water, and they give up entire water that they have for the welfare of the residents of earthly planet. Swept by fierce winds, the clouds pour out water profusely. Similarly, driven by their compassion, merciful people give whatever they have for the welfare of common people. And during the monsoon, farmers grow their crops. And in the crops, there are also some weeds along with the main plant. Some useless plants or some weeds also grow. Farmers would pluck out those weeds because they consume all water and resources and other things, natural fertilizers and all. So they will not allow the main crop to grow. So farmers will pluck out weeds. So this phenomena of monsoon is compared with a king's punishing sinful people and miscreants and thieves and rogues that disturb the common people and rightful citizens in the kingdom. And later, Sukadeva Goswami describes that during the monsoon, clouds give profuse amount of rains. Where did the clouds accumulate water from? From the water bodies on the earthly planet only. During the summer, it's very hot, and the sun evaporates all the water from the water bodies on the earthly planet. So for 8 months during the winter and summer, sun evaporates water from the earth, and then all this water is accumulated in the clouds. And during the monsoon for 4 months, sun gives back all that water. The clouds pour out all the water that they have taken from the earth in the form of rains. So this is compared with a king's collecting taxes. Just as the sun evaporates water from the earth's surface, a king also collects taxes from the citizens. And during the monsoon, sun gives back all that water in the form of rains. Similarly, whenever there are some difficulties or famine or drought in the kingdom, the sun would give back, the king would give back all the taxes that he had collected in the form of public welfare activities or charity. So during the monsoon, this earth is earth becomes very green. During the summer, because the sun evaporates water from the earth becomes very dry. So this dryness of the earth during summer is compared with the emaciation of a sage who is doing austerities for a material purpose. So the sage becomes, sages or yogis, they become very thin and lean by doing austerities. But when they receive the result of their austerities, they become very happy and nourished. They become normal. So similarly, the earth also is doing austerities by losing all the water that it has during the summer. But during the winter, during the monsoon, the sun gives all the water back in the form of rains, and earth is so beautiful and green. So the earth is nourished with vegetation. And during the monsoon, another peculiar feature is, during the nights, the sky is covered with clouds and the moon and the stars are not properly visible. So the sun, during the nights, although it is not Amavasya night, although the moon and stars are still there during the night of a monsoon also, still they are not seen properly. So the glowworms, means there are some small insects that emanate little amount of light. So these glowworms glow. So their light will be seen very prominently during the nights of monsoons. So because the real luminaries in the sky are not shining properly. Similarly, in this Kali Yuga, the real philosophy of Bhakti Yoga, the real Vaishnava philosophy may not be very prominently seen. And the materialistic philosophies and the concocted philosophies and worldviews and value systems will become more prominent, just as glowworms become prominent during the nights of monsoon. But sometimes, even in monsoon also, the sky may not be covered with clouds. You can see the stars, you can see the moon nicely. Similarly, even in Kali Yuga also, where atheism and materialism and concocted doctrines are more popular, even in such Kali Yuga also, the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the process of Krishna Bhakti and Krishna Naam Sankirtan could become prominent sometimes. So we should take advantage of the times and then expose ourselves to this mercy that is coming from the Supreme Lord in the form of His incarnations and in the form of His holy name. So even during Kali Yuga also, there are some Vaishnavas, there are some devotees who are spreading knowledge of Bhakti Yoga. And during the monsoon, frogs become very excited. When there is rain, frogs start croaking. So in a positive manner, we can see that this frogs making sounds out of joy and jubilation seeing the rain is compared with the Brahmana students reciting Vedic mantras when their guru calls them for Vedic recitation. And during the monsoon, dry streams begin to swell. They stray away from their courses because they are dry streams. They can accumulate only little amount of water. They are not like big lakes or rivers. So they can, because of monsoon, they become filled with water. But with just few hours of rain only they are filled. But the excess amount of rainfall that is coming into these dry streams will just overflow from these streams, right? So that is compared with a person who is with uncontrolled senses. So a person who has uncontrolled senses is not satisfied with any amount of sense gratification. Because the sense gratification will not actually satisfy the heart of any person. So, but there is a desire to accumulate more, desire to enjoy senses, but a person does not have the ability to gratify his senses. So he is always dissatisfied. Similarly, the dry streams in monsoon also may take lot of water, but that water flows just overflows. They don't have the capacity to withhold that water. So similarly, a person who has uncontrolled senses does not have the capacity to just withdraw his senses from the sense objects. The senses will just come out. It's like the water in dry streams and small rivulets. It will just come out during monsoon. And another feature of monsoon is the earth is decorated with lush green grass, and that green hue on the surface of the earth is compared with emerald shining shining of an emerald, which is green in color. So this is compared with a person who has become very rich suddenly. So far, the surface of the earth during the summer is brown, and there is not much grasses that grow. But during monsoon, suddenly so many grasses grow, and the entire surface of the earth is covered with green grasses. So it's like it's compared to a person becoming very rich. Not only green grasses are there, there are some small Indragopa insects, which are with little reddish and blackish in color. So this there is green carpet on the surface of the earth. There are some insects that are in red and black color. And also some mushrooms grow on the surface of the earth. They are white in color, cream color. So white color mushrooms and red and black color insects, Indragopa insects, and green color grass. So this this kind of scenery on the surface of the earth during monsoon is compared with a royal king who just travels with his parade. So many companions, so many soldiers and ministers and elephants and horses and umbrellas and musical instruments are sounded when a king comes. So earth is also glowing like a great emperor, you know, with all this vegetation. And during the monsoon, the farmers become very happy. Because farmers, their main activity is to do agriculture. They want to grow crops for the welfare of the entire human society. So they become so happy that they get profuse amount of rain during the monsoon and their crops will grow nicely. But in this monsoon, some wealthy people or materialistic people, they get irritated by this rain. They say, stop this rain, we don't want this rain. It's irritating us. It's spoiling our clothes. The clothes are not getting dried, or it's very difficult for us to travel from one place to another place. So there's a person who is very wealthy, who can purchase anything by throwing his money. Such a person will hate this rain. But farmers who grow food for the entire human society, they become very happy. So, and all the forms of creatures become very happy during monsoon. And another feature of monsoon is the rivers generally flow towards the ocean. So when the rivers, during the monsoon, the rivers overflow with a lot of water. So their flow becomes very high because a lot of water is coming from the sky also and filling the rivers. So when the rivers meet the ocean during monsoon, so that meeting place is agitated with a lot of waves. So when rivers meet the ocean, there is a lot of agitation with the agitation of water. So this agitation of water is compared with a struggling spiritual seeker's agitation of mind. During our sadhana stage, when we are practicing bhakti yoga, practicing spiritual life, sometimes we may not be able to control our senses. We may not be able to control our mind. Mind gets agitated by seeing certain sense objects and by happiness and distress and many other dualities. So, just like an immature yogi or an imperfect yogi or a practicing spiritual seeker's mind is agitated, this rivers, the meeting places of rivers and oceans also become agitated. On the other hand, another feature of monsoon is, although there is profuse amount of rains falling from the sky, the mountains are not agitated. The mountains, they are very steady. They are steadily standing on the earth, and also they become very clean. Nobody will go on a mountain and then clean all the rocks and trees there. So if you go on a mountain during summer season or winter season, the rocks are very dirty with dust, and the trees and their leaves are also dirty with a lot of accumulation of dust. But during the monsoon, because there is profuse amount of water that is falling from the sky, entire mountain is cleaned. Although the clouds are there and the rain is there, the mountain does not shake from its position. Mountain is fixed up in its position, and on top of it, mountain becomes very lush green and clean. So this is compared to a mature yogi. A mature yogi's experience of difficulties in this world. So, when a devotee is very mature, when a devotee is totally dependent on the Supreme Lord Krishna, then the devotees, although they experience a lot of difficulties, they do not become very agitated. So the agitation that is caused when rivers and ocean meet is compared with the mind of an immature yogi. But the clean and green ambience of a mountain is compared with the mind of a mature yogi. When a devotee is very mature, although so many difficulties come in the devotee's life, the devotee will be able to tolerate those difficulties. Because he is dependent on Krishna always, he does not see a calamity as a calamity. He does not even think that this difficulty will cause some agitation in my mind. So a devotee is dependent on Krishna, and devotee even invites calamities also. We have seen in the first canto how Kunti Maharani prayed, Vipadaha santu taha shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yasyat apunat bhavad darshanam. So when a devotee experiences some difficulties or reversals or tribulations in one's life, devotee takes that as an opportunity to depend on Krishna's mercy, to intensify his remembrance and absorption in Krishna, thus come one step closer to Krishna. So difficulties are impetus for devotees to come closer to God. That's the maturity of a pure devotee. So just like a mountain becomes clean and green during monsoon, similarly, whenever there are difficulties, the devotees become more pure-hearted, and they become more mature and realized. And the mountain is cleansed of dirt by the profuse quantities of rain that come on the mountains. Similarly, the devotee is also completely purified of all this contamination and the sinful reactions by experiencing those difficulties and coming closer to God. So that's one aspect of monsoon. Another aspect of monsoon is, during the monsoon, the muddy roads, the roads in villages, they are not made with cement or tar. So they are made with, they are mud roads, so muddy paths. So the muddy pathways in the villages, they are covered with grasses. Because during monsoon, people may not walk so much, they stay inside the houses. So then there is profuse amount of grasses that grow even on the pathways. So similar, this is compared with a beautiful phenomena that happens in this world. The scriptures describe the qualities of the Supreme Lord, and the scriptures present us the path back to Godhead. They show us the path back to Godhead by giving us the descriptions of Bhakti Yoga, how to practice Bhakti Yoga. So when the scriptures are not studied, the pure Vaishnava philosophy, the pure Bhakti philosophy, devotional philosophy is covered with some materialistic philosophies. So the scriptures are showing us the path back to God, path of righteousness. But if the scriptures are not studied, the knowledge of the scriptures is covered by materialistic philosophies and atheistic philosophies. So we need to understand that it's the responsibility of a follower of a Vaishnava Sampradaya to study the scriptures very carefully, as much as possible, as much as his intelligence and time allows, or at least follow the teachings of the scriptures as explained to them by some experienced devotees. So then we will preserve the knowledge of scriptures. So just as muddy pathways during monsoon are covered with grasses because they are not used, similarly, the knowledge of scriptures is covered by materialistic philosophies if the scriptures are not studied. So we need to study the scriptures, or at least we need to hear the explanation of scriptures from those people who study nicely and try to implement the teachings of scriptures in one's own life. Because scriptures are given to us, given to the humanity by the grace of God. So these are God's blessings. So we need to utilize that scriptural knowledge to live happily in this world, and also to have a better world after leaving this life. So, and that is one feature of monsoon, and very important lesson that is coming from monsoon. So the knowledge of scriptures is preserved by propagating that knowledge. If one does not propagate the knowledge of holy scriptures and bona fide Vaishnava scriptures, authentic scriptures which are words of God, then people could be misdirected by materialistic philosophies and sensual urges. So one needs to preserve the knowledge of scriptures by propagating that knowledge. Another feature of monsoon is the rainbow. During the monsoon, sometimes a rainbow appears, but this rainbow does not rest on a string. Normally, any bow would rest on a string, and the bowman would just put an arrow on the string and then release. But this rainbow does not rest on a string. This is compared with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is not dependent on anything or anyone. Everything is dependent on Krishna, but he is not dependent on anyone. Everything is emanating from him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartate. So another feature of monsoon is, during the night, the moon is covered with clouds. So this is compared to a soul's being covered with the contamination of false ego and false identification with one's material body. Another feature of monsoon is, sometimes the peacocks would dance so jubilantly when there is profuse amount of rain. So seeing the rain clouds, the peacocks dance so happily. The peacocks love Krishna so much, when they see the rain clouds, they think that, oh, this is Krishna. The complexion of the monsoon rain cloud and Krishna's bodily complexion are same. So seeing that monsoon cloud, the peacocks think that Krishna has come and they start dancing. So that happiness of peacocks is compared with the happiness of a common devotee staying at home, who becomes very happy to receive a pure devotee, a saintly person at his home. When saintly people visit the homes of common devotees, the common people become very happy. Oh, this saintly person can enlighten me with spiritual knowledge. So like that. So another feature of monsoon is, the waterfall during the monsoon is so much that the irrigation dikes, so the farmers just raise mud banks on all the four sides of the rice field. So because of profuse amount of waterfall from the sky, the mud banks cannot hold the water within themselves and the water starts overflowing. So this is compared to the atheistic doctrines. They just cross the boundaries of Vedic injunctions. So they do not respect Vedas. So these are various aspects of monsoon in Vrindavan. After completing the description of monsoon in Vrindavan, Sukadeva Goswami describes autumn season in Vrindavan. After monsoon, there is autumn. And in monsoon, Krishna and Balaram and all the Gopas also would take their cows to the forest. They would tend them there. And sometimes when there is rain, they will go and hide inside the caves of Vrindavan. And they also play in the rain. And in autumn season, the amount of rainfall reduces. And during the monsoon, the water reservoirs or lakes become very muddy. But during the autumn, because there is only slight amount of drizzling, so that little amount of rainfall that comes during the autumn season is said to be purifying all the lakes. So the lakes shine with clear waters, and then during the autumn season, beautiful lotuses start blooming in the lakes. So that's another beautiful feature of autumn season. So just as bhakti purifies the minds of fallen yogis, when they return back to the bhakti yoga after getting slightly diverted by it, similarly, the water reservoirs restore their original purity during autumn season after being muddy for a while during monsoon. And the sky during the autumn season is cleared. Not so many monsoon clouds are there, no dark clouds. The sky is very clear, no more clouds there. So this is compared to the heart getting purified by following the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. And by following bhakti, one will be freed from all troubles. All the devotees in different ashrams, they are freed from all kinds of troubles and inconveniences by following the pure, pristine practice of bhakti yoga. And another aspect of monsoon, another aspect of autumn season is, the muddy pathways or roads that are covered with grasses and muddy layers, so they become very clear. So during the monsoon, when you are walking on a pathway, it's covered with a lot of mud. And during the autumn season, that mud is cleared. So similarly, the inconveniences in the life of a spiritual seeker are cleared when he follows Bhakti Yoga very sincerely. So during the monsoon, mountains are covered with so much of rain, and sometimes you can see waterfalls. But during the autumn season, because not much rain is there, waterfalls are not seen so much, or sometimes very rarely you can see little waterfalls. So similarly, a preacher of Bhakti Yoga, a person who is trying to spread Bhakti Yoga through outreach, may sometimes give his teachings, or sometimes he may just keep quiet, and sometimes he may not manifest the teachings also. He may be grave, he may be introspecting within. So another aspect of autumn season in Vrindavan is, during the monsoon, the lakes are filled with so much of water, but during the autumn season, their water level goes down day by day. And during the autumn season, the sun starts shining more and the water level goes down. But the innocent and ignorant fish that is there within the water lake, so they start feeling the heat. They will not realize it. They start feeling the heat. Similarly, the foolish men who are so absorbed in materialistic household life, they also cannot understand that their life duration is getting reduced. Just like this ignorant fish cannot realize that the water level is getting reduced and they start feeling the heat, and still they are stuck to that water reservoir only. Similarly, the foolish people who do not take to Bhakti Yoga but are just attached to materialistic household life and its comforts, they also cannot understand that their lifetime is getting exhausted. They need to do something for their spiritual life also. And another aspect of monsoon is the ocean and the lakes become very silent, and they are not agitated with so much of waters. So it's very clear and transparent and peaceful waters. So this is compared to the peace of mind experienced by a pure devotee or an advanced yogi who sees the Supreme Lord Krishna manifest in all the living entities as super soul. So a pure devotee will be able to see the presence of God in everyone, and he is always peaceful, and he also understands that whatever situations that one is experiencing in this life are arrangements of the Supreme Lord, and he is able to accept all the situations nicely without getting agitated. He is very peaceful. Another aspect of autumn season is, because there is not much of rainfall from the sky, the farmers have to preserve all the water that is there within their fields by raising mud banks. So when they raise mud banks on four sides of the field, the water which is there within will be preserved and is available for the plants inside the field. Otherwise, if the mud banks are not raised, the water will just come out and no more water will come from the sky. So one has to preserve that water for the nourishment of the plants. So an important message is hidden in this phenomena. That is, when the spiritual seeker, when the sadhaka does not control his mind and senses and keep it focused on the practices of spiritual life, then the mind and senses will just go here and there. So uncontrollably. So one has to preserve one's consciousness, mind and senses and focus them on the process of Bhakti Yoga. And in the autumn season, the moon shines so nicely, and the stars also shine so nicely. Similarly, the wisdom that is developed by a advanced intelligent person, a pure devotee, so that also shines so nicely, and not only he himself is benefited by such wisdom, he also benefits other people. So that clear autumn sky with shining moon and shining stars is compared to the heart of a pure devotee. So these are various features of autumn season in Vrindavan. And now that the rain subsided, so there are traditional festivals and sacrifices honoring, and there is harvesting, and the merchants would come out to do their business, and the sages would come out for their traveling, and the kings would come out in their royal parade, and the brahmachari students also will come out to travel from two different places and then study. So these are the various aspects of autumn season in Vrindavan. So that completes the 20th chapter of 10th canto, that gives a very brief description of the monsoon in Vrindavan and autumn season in Vrindavan. And the most enchanting aspect of the autumn season in Vrindavan, Sharad Ritu in Vrindavan, is Krishna's playing a flute. So the song of Krishna's flute is called Venu Gita, and Sukadeva Goswami very beautifully describes this Venu Gita in the 21st chapter. Let's enter the 21st chapter. When Krishna enters the forest of Vrindavan during the autumn season, he plays his flute so enchantingly. So Sukadeva Goswami describes that in various verses. We will try to see all the verses in Venu Gita, which is very short, very small Gita, small song. So this basically Venu Gita is a description of Krishna's flute song as done by the gopis of Vrindavan in separation from Krishna. So Ittham Sharat Swachha Jalam Padmakara Sugandhinam Nyavishadvayuna Vatam Sagogopalakochyutaham Ittham Sharat Swachha Jalam. During the Sharad Ritu, during the autumn season, the lakes are filled with very clear, transparent and clean waters. Padmakara Sugandhina, they also are decorated with beautiful lotus flowers, and these lotus flowers are emanating such sweet fragrance that is intoxicating to the nostrils of Krishna and all the gopas who are entering the Vrindavan forest. And Yavisad Vayuna Vatam Sa Gogopalako Achyutaha, this Achyuta, Supreme Lord Krishna, along with Go and Gopala, means cows and cowherd boys, entered this autumn forest in Vrindavan while experiencing the beautiful ambience of autumn season there. And next shloka says, as Krishna is entering Vrindavan forest, the gopis of Vrindavan saw Krishna and they are overwhelmed with the sweetness of Krishna and remembrance of Krishna and also separation from Krishna, because Krishna is going from the village into the forest. Throughout the day, the gopis won't be able to see Krishna. They have to wait till the sunset time. So, our Sukadeva Goswami says in the third shloka, Tadvrajastriya ashrutya venu gitam smarodayam kaschit paroksham krishnasya swasakhibhyon vavarnayan. So, tadvrajastriya ashrutya, and when Krishna enters this autumn forest along with the gopas and the cows, he starts playing his beautiful enchanting flute. Then the gopis hear that flute and they develop some conjugal feelings towards Krishna, and they start gathering in groups and they discuss about the glories of Krishna's flute song. So that's the whole idea of Venu Gita. Venu Gita is a discussion or a song sung by the gopis while describing Krishna's flute.
Tadvarnayitumarabdhaha smarantyaha krishna cheshtitam nashakan smaravegena vikshipta manaso nrupa. Tadvarnayitum arabdhaha,
all the gopis, they became very enchanted by Krishna's flute song and they started describing the flute song with their friends. The gopis gathered in small groups and they started describing Krishna's flute song, but because of their conjugal love for Krishna, they could not speak properly. Because of their shy, they could not utter words. So in this context, Sukadeva Goswami describes so beautifully how Krishna entered Vrindavan forest. This is one of the most enchanting verses, the fifth shloka.
Barha pidam natavaravapuho karnayor karnikaram bibhradvasah kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randhran venor dhara sudhaya purayan gopa vrindair vrindaranyam swapada ramanam pravishad gita kirtihi.
As you can see in that picture, Krishna and Balaram are entering Vrindavan along with the other gopas and cows. So barha pidam, Krishna is wearing a beautiful peacock feather. Barha pidam natavara vapuhu, Krishna's body is like a drama artist decorates himself so nicely with all kinds of ornaments and decorations and garlands and clothes. Similarly, Krishna is also decorating himself so nicely. So natavara vapuhu, he is looking like a drama artist. Karnayor karnikaram, Krishna is also holding a very beautiful karnika flower near his ears, sometimes left side, sometimes right side. So karnayor karnikaram bibhrad vasaha, Krishna is wearing a shining yellow cloth, which is like lightning.
So Bharadvasaha Kanaka Kapisham, it has a golden hue. Vaijayantim Chamalam, Krishna also wears a beautiful garland, Vaijayanti Mala, which is made of five kinds of forest flowers. Vaijayantim Chamalam, Randharan Venor Adhara Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrindair. Randharan Venor, Krishna is filling the holes of his flute with and the nectar of his lips. So he is blowing wind, blowing air into the holes of this flute and generating such mesmerizing melodies, songs from this flute. Randharan Venor Adhara Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrindair. All the gopas are surrounding Krishna. Vrindaranyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihim. In this way, Krishna is entering the forest of Vrindavan. Svapada Ramanam, marking the beautiful land of Vrindavan with his lotus footprints. Pravishad Gita Kirtihi, and all the other gopas are also singing his glories. So this is how Krishna made his entry into the Vrindavan forest while playing his flute. So at the time, the gopis started describing the flute of Krishna and describing the fortune of all the gopas and the cows and the rivers, lakes and other water bodies in Vrindavan, and the hills and the cows and calves and the doe and buck and peacocks and sparrows and the clouds and entire forest ambience is getting enchanted by Krishna's flute. So how, what is the response of all these kinds of people towards Krishna's flute song? That's the whole subject matter of Venu Gita. From the 7th shloka, the Venu Gita begins. 7th to 19th shloka. Let's discuss them. 7th shloka. Sri Gopya Uchuhu. Akshanvatam falabidam naparam vidamaham. Sakhyah pashun anuviveshayatorvayasyaihim. Vaktram rajesha sutayor anavenu jushtam yairvani pitamanurakta kataksha moksham. Akshanvatam falamidam na param vidamaha. The purpose of having eyes is to see Krishna and Balaram playing their flutes and entering the forest of Vrindavan. There is no other purpose for having eyes. The gopis say this. And sometimes people may criticize them. You are young girls and you are thinking about another boy, you are getting attracted to a boy. So is it proper? Is it Vedic culture? Somebody may question, you are trying to see Krishna. So the elders are questioning these younger gopis who were in conjugal love with Krishna. But the younger gopis' argument is that the purpose of having eyes is to see Krishna. And it's not the purpose of our eyes only, it's the purpose of your eyes also. All the moving and non-moving entities, human and non-human species, men or women, everybody has to see Krishna only. Krishna is the object of eyes for every single living being in the entire cosmic manifestation. The gopis are convinced about it. Akshanvatam falavidam na param vidamaha. There is no other purpose for having eyes except to see Krishna. So, sakhyah pashun anuviveshayator vayasyehi. When Krishna is entering Vrindavan forest along with other gopas and cows, so it's so enchanting scene. Vaktram rajesha sutayor anavenu jishtum. So Krishna would sometimes turn back towards the gopis and shower his beautiful, merciful, sidelong glances on the gopis while playing flute. So to see that enchanting face of Krishna is the greatest fortune that we all have. The gopis are convinced about this fact. In the next shloka, 8th shloka, the gopis say, Chuta pravala barhastaba kopalabja malanu prukta paridhana vichitra vesho madhye virejaturalam pashupala ghoshtyam range yathanatavarau kvachagaya manau. So in this another exciting shloka, the gopis say that Krishna and Balaram would go into the forest and they would start dancing in the middle of all the gopas while the gopas are surrounding them. So the gopas are so fortunate. They are able to accompany Krishna and Balaram to the forest and they are able to see Krishna throughout the day. But we gopis are not so fortunate that we have to stay back in the village and take care of our household duties. And if there is an opportunity, we will all disguise ourselves as gopas, as boys, and accompany Krishna and go to the forest and see Krishna and Balaram singing and dancing and playing their flutes. That's what the gopis are saying. And Chota Pravala Barha Stabaka Uttal Abja means these two lords, Krishna and Balaram, would decorate themselves with beautiful peacock feathers and flowers and many other ornaments. The gopis actually had specific love for Krishna only. But they are including Balaram also in this description just to hide their intimate love for Krishna. They are kind of generalizing things. But their love is specifically towards Krishna only. And Balaramji is also included in the description here. Then the ninth shloka says, the gopis are saying, actually all these song, all these shlokas within Venugita are spoken by different gopis. They are all put together as Venugita, description of Krishna's flute song. So ninth shloka, the gopis are saying,
Gopyaha kimacharadayam kushalam smavenur Damodaradharasudham api gopikanam Bhungte svayam yada vasishtarasam hradinyo hrishyatvacho shrumumuchustaravo yathariyaha. So gopyaha kimacharadayam kushalam smavenur. What great austerities did this flute do? Damodara dhara sudha api gopikanam. So the flute of Krishna is constantly accompanying Krishna only. What great austerities did this flute do? The gopis are saying, we are not getting the association of Krishna, but this flute is taking all the association. Flute is so close to Krishna, Krishna sleeps and Krishna is just blowing his air inside the flute and then making the whole world mesmerized by his flute song. Although the flute of Krishna is just a dry bamboo wood that too filled with so many holes. So something is having holes, it cannot hold anything. But the flute has holes, but it is holding so many ragas. And the flute is just a dry bamboo wood. Although it is dry, it is moistening the eyes of those people who are hearing Krishna's flute song. So it's filling the hearts of all the people with nectar. So the flute is just dry bamboo wood, which is lifeless in one sense, but Krishna gives life to that flute and Krishna empowers that flute with the ability to captivate the minds and hearts of all those people who are hearing the flute song. Similarly, we may be unfit or unqualified in hundreds of ways, but Krishna, if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna will empower us and bless us with the ability to perform some good service. So, bhungte svayam yadavasishta hridam rasam hradinyo. So, this flute is considered the descendant of the bamboo bushes. So, the forefathers of this bamboo flute, they are celebrating, they are very happy, they are having tears in their eyes, means sap comes out of the trees. And the mother of this flute, which is considered the river, because river only nourishes the bamboo bushes, so the river is also celebrating the success of this flute. The life of this flute is successful because Krishna is playing that flute. Then 10th shloka, in this 10th shloka, the gopis glorify the land of Vrindavan and also the peacocks in Vrindavan. They say,
Vrindavanam sakhibhuvo vitanoti kirtim yaddevaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmi govinda venu manumatta mayura nrityam prekshadrisanvavaratanya samasta sattvam. Vrindavanam sakhibhuvo vitanoti kirtim. The land of Vrindavan is so glorious that it is spreading the glory of this entire earthly planet all over the universe. This whole earthly planet is glorious because Vrindavan Dham is there on its surface. And yad devaki suta padambuja labdha lakshmihi. The specific glory of Vrindavan is to have Krishna's lotus footprints. We discussed in the previous classes also that Krishna does not wear even shoes. He walks barefoot on the land of Vrindavan, directly imprinting his auspicious footprints on the land of Vrindavan. And no gopa or gopi or a monkey or a cow or a calf or a bull
or a peacock or a sparrow or any living entity in Vrindavan would not disturb the footprints of Krishna. When Akrura came to Vrindavan, Akrura saw the footprints of Krishna and he went into ecstasy and he started rolling on the dust of Krishna's feet. So that's about the land of Vrindavan. Then another aspect is the peacocks of Vrindavan. Govinda Vedu Manumatta Mayura Nrityam. The Mayuras, the peacocks, see Krishna playing flute and Matta, they get intoxicated by that flute song and they start dancing around Krishna. They make a circle around Krishna, they start dancing, opening their peacock feathers, and a peacock would come and give a peacock feather as a gift to Krishna. Krishna, your musical performance is so mesmerizing. We are very happy. Please accept this gift. And Krishna graciously accepts that gift of peacock feather and puts right on his head. And also, the peacocks see that Krishna's bodily complexion resembles the cloud. So, cloud is bluish in color. Whenever there is rain, the peacocks become very happy. So, when they see rain, they remember Krishna. When they see Krishna, they remember rain cloud also, monsoon cloud. Thus, the peacocks have a special connection with the rain cloud and Krishna's beautiful bodily complexion, which is blue, like a rain cloud. So they become very happy. And also, Prekshadrisan Vavaratanya Samastha Sattvam. So seeing this musical performance of Krishna, which is appreciated by all the peacocks around him, the other animals, forest animals, would sit on some hillocks and start watching this performance from there and they become happy. Then 11th shloka says, Dhanyasma Moodhagatayo Api Hiranya Eta Yananda Nandana Mupata Vichitra Vesham Akarnya Venuranitam Sahakrishna Saraha Pujam Dadhurvirachitam Pranayava Lokaihim. This is another exciting shloka. Dhanyahasma Moodhagatayopi Hiranya Eta. There are deer and buck, the male deer and the female deer. So they come to Krishna as Krishna is playing flute, and the husbands would allow their wives, means the male deer would allow the female deer to go and see the musical performance of Krishna. But the gopis are saying that our family members, our husbands or our fathers or brothers or our elders are not allowing us to go and see Krishna when Krishna is playing flute. But the husband of the deer, Dhanyasma Moodhagatayo, although the deer are very ignorant, they are having an animal body, still Dhanyaha, they are very fortunate. They are so glorious because they are getting an opportunity to see Krishna while he is playing flute. Dhanyasma Moodhagatayopi Hiranya Eta Yananda Nandana Mupata Vichitra Veshav. Right? So they are able to see Krishna playing flute. And 12th shloka says, how the demigoddesses are so fortunate. The ignorant animals like the deer, they are very happily watching Krishna playing flute. And in the heavenly planets, sometimes the demigods along with their consorts go in airplanes and they see what's happening on the earthly planet. So the gopis are saying, Krishnam nirikshavanitotsavarupashilam shritvachatatkvanitavenu vivikta geetam devyo vimanagataya hasmaranunnasara bhrishyat prasunakabara mumuhurvinivya. So in this shloka, the gopis are saying that the demigoddesses who are traveling in their airplanes along with their husbands, they see Krishna playing flute in Vrindavan forest. And they get attracted. They start seeing Krishna even in the presence of their husbands only. And the husbands also will not have any objection. They allow their wives to see Krishna. Krishna is just a young boy. And the gopis are saying that the elevated personalities like the demigoddesses are seeing Krishna. And the ignorant animals like deer are also seeing Krishna. And their husbands are allowing them to see Krishna. And we gopis are deprived of this opportunity. We are human beings. So animals are fortunate and the demigods are fortunate. We human beings are in the middle. We are unfortunate. The gopis are feeling like this. And later, 13th shloka. What is the effect of Krishna's flute song on the cows and calves? Gopis are describing.
Gavascha Krishna Mukhanirgata Venu Gita Piyusha Muttabhita Karna Putaihi Pibantyaha Shavaha Snutastana Payaha Kavalaha Smatasthur Govinda Matmanidrisha Shrukalaha Sprushantyaha Gavascha Krishna Mukhanirgata Venu Gita. Krishna Mukhanirgata means that Venu Gita, the flute song emanated from Krishna's mukha, Krishna's beautiful lotus face. Gavascha Krishna Mukhanirgata Venu Gita. When the cows hear this flute song coming from Krishna's flute, they become so happy. Piyusha Muttabhita Karna Putaihi means they raise their ears with their upraised ears, which are like vessels. They start drinking the nectar of Krishna's flute song that is coming inside. And this is how cows are enjoying. And the calves, although they are drinking milk from the milk bags of their mother cows, they become distracted. Did you ever see a calf drinking milk from cow? The calf is so focused. Calf is so enthusiastic. Calf will not get diverted by anything else. So calf will just focus on drinking milk from mother cow only. But when Krishna plays flute, the calf gets distracted. So the calf is drinking milk, and the calf starts turning towards Krishna when Krishna is playing flute. And the milk that is going into its mouth, the calf's mouth will just come out because they are distracted by Krishna's flute song. So Krishna's flute song is more attractive than mother's milk also. So that's what the calves think. And in the 14th shloka, the gopis are describing what is the effect of Krishna's flute song on the birds in Vrindavan.
Prayo batamba vihaga munayo vanesmin krishnekshitam taduditam kalavenu geetam aruhyaye dharma bhujan ruchira pravalan shrindvanti milita drisho avigatanyavachah. So prayo batamba vihaga munayo vanesmin,
in the Vrindavan forest, so many birds like sparrows and many other birds, they see Krishna playing flute. A bird is very restless. So a parrot or a sparrow or any other bird, see, the bird would not stay at one place for a long time. So within just a couple of seconds, the bird will just turn its face all around 10 times. So if you just make little sound or just wave your hand also, bird will just fly away. So such restless birds become so still and steady with their closed eyes. They become like sages. They would sit on the tree branches, they close their eyes, and they hear Krishna's flute song with great concentration. The birds become like sages in Vrindavan. That's the effect of the flute song of Krishna on the birds. Then 15th shloka says, the effect of Krishna's flute on the rivers.
Nadyastadatatupadharya mukundagitam avartalakshitamano bhavabhagna vegaha alingana sthagitamormi bhujair murarer grihananti padayugalam kamalopaharaha.
So the rivers and the lakes, other water bodies in Vrindavan, they become so happy and enchanted whenever Krishna plays his flute. And with their arms, so the rivers also have hands. What are the hands of rivers? Their waves. So with their hands, just like with our hands, we offer flowers to Krishna. Similarly, with the hands, the rivers are offering flowers to Krishna, because within the rivers and within the lakes, so many beautiful lotuses grow. So the rivers are offering those lotuses through their waves to Krishna's lotus feet, and they're embracing Krishna's lotus feet. So Krishna would stand in the rivers or sit in the rivers, and the lotus feet of Krishna would touch the rivers, and the rivers would embrace Krishna's lotus feet with their waves, and they offer flowers to Krishna. And 16th shloka says,
Drishtva tape vraja pashun saharama gopaihi sancharayantamanu venu mudirayantam prema pravruddha uditaha kusumavali bhi sakhyur vyadhat svavapushambuddha atapatram. during the autumn season, the sun is shining in the sky, it's very hot. But the clouds, the autumn clouds, they become very compassionate on Krishna, Balaram and all the gopas. And they come on top of Krishna like an umbrella. And they also shower some nice droplets of water, which is not like profuse amount of rain, but that little droplets of water will relieve Krishna, Balaram and all the gopas from the suffering caused by summer heat or the autumn heat. So that's the service done by the clouds. When the cloud comes on top of Krishna, cloud acts like an umbrella, and cloud gives shade, and cloud also showers some droplets of water. That's like pushyabhishek only. It's like flowers falling on Krishna only, like that. 17th shloka describes the effect of Krishna's flute and Krishna's presence in Vrindavan forest on the aborigine girls or the tribal girls. Purnaha pulinda urugaya padabjaraga Sri kumkumena dayita stana manditena taddarshana smara rujastrana rushitena limpancha anana kucheshu jahustadadhim. The aborigine girls, the tribal girls in the forest, they see the land of Vrindavan imprinted with beautiful Krishna's lotus footprints. So they pick up the dust from Krishna's footprints and they put it on their bodies. They are so fortunate. The gopis are thinking like this. In the 18th shloka, the gopis glorify the Govardhan mountain. Especially Srimati Radharani glorifies Govardhan mountain as Haridasavarya. 18th shloka says, Hantaya madrirabala haridasavaryo yad rama krishna charana sparasha pramodaham manam tanoti sahago ganayostayoryat paniyasu yavasakandara kandamulaihi. So in this shloka, the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, glorifies the service done by Govardhan to Krishna, Balaram, Gopas and Gopis and entire cowherd community. Hantaya madrirabala haridasavaryo. Radharani is saying that this Govardhan mountain is Haridasavarya. So mountain is the best of all servants of Krishna. Haridasavaryo. Yad rama krishna charana sparasha pramodaham. Means the mountain of Govardhan would become so jubilant, so happy by the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. Yad Rama Krishna Charana Sparasha Pramodaha. So Govardhan is rejoicing the touch of Krishna and Balaram lotus feet. And Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoryat. So Govardhan respects Krishna, Balaram, along with the cows and calves and other gopas of Krishna and Balaram, and offers a lot of service. What are the services? Paniyasuya vasakandara kandamulaihi. Paniya, waters or even fruit juices, right? Suyavasa, soft grasses for Krishna's cows. Kandara, caves. So when it is very hot outside, Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas would go inside the caves and hide themselves. So they feel the caves of Govardhan will give a cooling effect to Krishna and Balaram's bodies. And when it is very cool outside, when Krishna and Balaram enter the caves of Govardhan, then the caves will give a warm effect. So Kandara, Kandamulaihi means the fruits and roots. So Krishna and Balaram would eat those fruits. So in this way, Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kandamulaihi. So by offering all these things to Krishna, Balaram and the cows, Govardhan has become Haridasavarya, best of all servants of Krishna. 19th shloka, the gopis are saying, this is the last shloka in Venu Gita.
Gago apakairanu vanam nayatorudara Venu swanaihi kalapadai stanubhrutsu sakhyaham Aspandanam gati matam pulakastarunam niryoga pashakrita lakshanayor vichitram.
So the milking cows, ga gopakai ranuvanam nayator udara. The milking cows become so happy seeing Krishna. Krishna starts milking cows directly and the cows and calves become so happy at the flute song of Krishna. So in this way, the gopis are constantly absorbed in remembrance of Krishna and glorifying his flute song.
Evam vidha bhagavato, the last shloka, Sukadeva Goswami concludes. Evam vidha bhagavato ya vrindavana charinaha varnayantyo mitho gopyah kridastanmayatam yayuhu.
So in this way, the gopis of Vrindavan started glorifying Krishna's flute song. So that completes the 21st chapter. Now we will enter the 22nd chapter. So in the 22nd chapter, there is a beautiful description of how Lord Krishna understood the heartfelt desire of this young unmarried gopis to have Krishna as their husband. So the gopis of Vrindavan, so they worshipped Katyayani to have Krishna as their husband. So during the month of Margasirsha, which is very cold, these gopis, they ate only non-spicy khichdi as their food, and with all worship paraphernalia like sandalwood pulp and lamps and fruits and betel nuts and leaves and garlands and incense, they started worshipping Devi Katyayani, and the goal of their worship is to have Krishna as their husband. And they are meditating on Krishna. The process of their worship is they constantly meditated on Krishna. They folded their hands, they are singing the glories of Krishna. So in this way, one day they went to the river and they started taking bath in the river, leaving their garments on the bank of the river. So Krishna came there along with some small 2-3-year-old toddlers, very small boys. And then he came there and he has stolen all the clothes of the gopis and went and sat on a tree. And the gopis started requesting Krishna, "Krishna, why did you steal our clothes? Please give them back." Then Krishna says that, "Why did you enter the river to take bath like this without any clothes? So it's an offense. So you should come and then offer obeisances and fold your hands. Then only you will be relieved from this offense. Then I will return your clothes back." Then the gopis very innocently, they did that, whatever Krishna did, and Krishna, whatever Krishna told them, and Krishna gave the clothes back to these gopis. So although the gopis had been thoroughly cheated, still the gopis had only pure love and affection for Krishna, and they felt so happy for getting this special privilege of such special attention and affection from Krishna, because Krishna understood the desires of all these gopis to have Krishna as their husband. So Krishna intimately behaved with all the gopis in this way. So these are all very esoteric pastimes, and I have no capacity or qualification to describe them in detail. I just summarized this whole chapter within just 1 or 2 minutes. So we will go to the next section in this chapter. So Krishna and Balaram and other gopas would go to the forest, and one day Krishna started glorifying the trees of Vrindavan. He says that all these trees in Vrindavan are giving flowers and fruits and shade and firewood and leaves for the humanity, for the human beings. So Krishna started herding the cows, and Krishna started sitting under a tree and he started glorifying the trees. So he was speaking to Balaram and other gopas. So the trees have dedicated their lives completely for the sake of others. So the trees are very tolerant. Even if you throw a stone on the tree will only give fruits and flowers. So even while tolerating wind, rain, heat, snow, they protect us from all these elements. And their birth is successful. Their behavior is just like great personalities. So Krishna speaks a beautiful shloka. Etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranair arthair dhiya vacha shreya acharanam sadam. So etavat janma safalyam, everybody has to make one's life successful in this way. Dehinam iha dehishu pranair. Pranair means one's life, arthair, one's wealth, dhiya, one's intelligence, vacha, one's words. So one has to dedicate all these four faculties for the welfare of others. Even in the 8th canto of Bhagavatam also we have seen. Tapyante loka tapena sadhavah prayasho janah paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah. Great souls almost always stretch themselves, extend themselves to cause welfare to common people out of their compassion, and that kind of compassionate welfare activities done by great souls are very pleasing to the Supreme Lord, and they are like a greatest form of worship of Krishna, and Krishna is glorifying all the trees in Vrindavan. So then they reached the bank of Yamuna and they started sporting, and after a while they became very hungry. So we will enter the 23rd chapter now. In the 23rd chapter we will see that when the Gopas became very hungry, Krishna told them, "My dear Gopas, nearby there are some Brahmanas who are performing some sacrifices. They are doing some yajnas. So if you go there and beg for some food, they will give you. Just go there and tell that I am here, Krishna is here, Balram is here. So you can take our names and then take food from them because you are very hungry." So then the Gopas went, very innocently the Gopas went to these Brahmanas who were doing yajnas and requested them, Oh Brahmanas, Krishna and Balaram are staying close by. We have come here to tend cows into this forest. So we are very hungry. Can you please give us some food?" And the Yajnik Brahmanas might hesitate that it's not proper for us to give food to these cowherd boys without completing the sacrifice. Then the cowherd boys speak to the Yajnik Brahmanas, anticipating their doubt. The Yajnik Brahmanas did not speak anything. So the Gopas thought that they will think like this, and they started speaking. "It's okay, it's proper to give charity to young boys even in the middle of the sacrifice also. It is not against the injunctions of your rules and regulations of scriptures or sacrifices. So please give us food." But the Yajnik Brahmanas did not say yes, did not say no. They completely ignored. They did not even acknowledge the presence of the Gopas. So the Gopas felt hurt. So they felt so disappointed, and they came back to Krishna. So, and they reported everything to Krishna and Balaram. Then Krishna and Balaram laughed and told the Gopas, "My dear Gopas, the Yajnik Brahmanas did not give you any food, but their wives will give you food." Krishna told the Gopas, "Now you go to the wives of the Brahmanas and ask them for food." Then the Gopas again went to the houses of these Brahmanas. They met their wives and they asked, "Krishna is nearby, so he has come here to tend cows, so he is very hungry, and Balaramji is also there with him. We are also accompanying him. So can you please give us some food?" So as soon as the Gopas came and spoke about Krishna to these wives of the Brahmanas, they became so happy and enthusiastic. They picked up whatever food items that they have in their houses, and they started to go towards Krishna. They started running towards Krishna, and their husbands and their family members and other elders in the family, they were not very much in favor of these ladies going to the forest and meeting Krishna. But these ladies did not listen to any one of them. Although there were so many objections and social customs, they became very enthusiastic to see Krishna, to meet Krishna. Because these Brahmanas, these Brahmanis, these ladies, they have been hearing about the beautiful qualities and activities of Krishna all the while, and they have developed a deep attraction towards Krishna. So out of their natural attraction towards Krishna, they became very excited now that they are getting an opportunity to see Krishna. So how can they give up that opportunity? If Krishna himself personally says that I want some food from you, how can any woman deny that opportunity? So these ladies became so excited, so enthusiastic, that they took whatever food items they have, very palatable sweet dishes, and they came to this forest where Krishna and Balaram were staying with the gopis. And a beautiful comparison is given. Just like rivers flow towards the ocean, all these Brahmana patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they also came towards Krishna. So ultimately, all of us should end up in taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So it may happen today or tomorrow, after 10 years or after 10 lifetimes, but our ultimate shelter and destination is the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And the Brahmana patnis are very
excited and enthusiastic to seek that shelter of Krishna immediately, as soon as they have heard something from these gopas. So, when the Brahmana Patnis came to Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami describes how Krishna was standing there with a hand on his friend's shoulder. So, this shloka says, Shyamam Hiranya Paridhim Vanamalya Barha Dhatu Pravalanatavesha Manuvratam Se Vinyasta Hasta Mitarena Dhanu Namabjam Karno Karnotpalalaka Kapola Mukhamjahasam. Krishna was standing there with one hand on the shoulder of his friend, and with the other hand he was twirling a lotus flower, and his beautiful face is resplendent, so shining, with a excellent peacock feather on his head, and his beautiful face is also decorated with his enchanting, charming smile. And all the ladies who came there, they were so attracted to this face of Krishna, to this form of Krishna. First time they are seeing Krishna. So far, they only have heard about Krishna, but first time they are actually having the darshan of Krishna. Their heartfelt longing has been completely satisfied. They are simple women, but they have sublime devotion. So, these women have more devotion than their husbands also. Their husbands are absorbed in karmakandic sacrifices, and they rejected Krishna's request, which was sent to them through the gopas. But the ladies, who have much more devotion, exalted bhakti towards Krishna, they immediately responded to Krishna's request. It's not about Vedic knowledge or being very austere or following so many rules and regulations. That's not very important. One should have simple devotion towards Krishna. All these women have that simplicity. They came towards Krishna as soon as they have heard that Krishna is hungry. So they could not tolerate that. So they were spontaneously attracted to Krishna, just like iron particles are attracted towards magnet. So then because they have developed so much of love and affection for Krishna by hearing about Krishna. So then they offered all food items to Krishna and Balaram and all the gopas, and Krishna thanked them. My dear wives of Brahmanas, so I thank you so much that you have come all the way to give me these food items. I am very happy. So now that you have come and met me and you have seen me, you can go back to your houses. Then all the Brahmana Patnis said that, Krishna, why are you speaking so cruelly? We have left our husbands, we have left our family members and other relatives and elders. We have come to take your shelter. So now they will not accept us back also. Although they were raising objections, we just left them and then came here. Now they will not allow us to come back to them. And further, we want to just remain here as deities of forest, Vanadevatas. And we will just stay here and we will worship your lotus feet with tulasi leaves, and we don't want to go back home. Then Krishna said, no, you should not be doing like that. I will make sure that your husbands and family members will not reject you. They will accept you back. And secondly, what is more important is not physical proximity. You should always be dedicated to the process of bhakti yoga within your hearts, within your minds. And that is more important than even being physically close towards the Lord. So he says, Shravanat Darshanat Dhyanat Mayi Bhavo Anukirtanat Natathasan Nikarshena Pratiyata Tato Grihan. Shravanat Darshanat Dhyanat. Shravana means hearing about Krishna. Darshana means seeing Krishna's deity form. Dhyana, meditating on the Supreme Lord Krishna. Mayi Bhavo Anukirtanat. With genuine emotions towards Krishna, one should glorify Krishna, Kirtanat, Mayi Bhavonu Kirtanat. So these are the various limbs of devotional service by which we are connected to Krishna, we are in the association of Krishna. But Natathasannikarshena, not by physical proximity. So Pratiyata Tato Grihan. So my dear ladies, please go back to your home. Then the ladies have followed the advice of Krishna and they went back home. They were blessed. So after they went back home, their husband started regretting. They felt that, oh, Krishna has come to us. Krishna's
friends have come to us asking for some food, but we have rejected their proposal. But our wives are so glorious, they are so fortunate, they have so much of love and devotion for Krishna. They went and served Krishna, but we missed that opportunity. They felt so bad. So, dhikjanmanastri vridyatthat, dhikvartam dhikbahugnatam, dhikkulam dhikriyadaksham, vimukhayetva dhokshaji. To hell with our high birth, to hell with our Vedic knowledge, to hell with our karmakandic sacrifices, to hell with our influence and name, fame, reputation, and exalted position in the society, etc. To hell with everything that we have. Because we don't have love and devotion for Krishna, whatever we have is useless. The Brahmanas had this realization. But still, after contemplating so much also, they could not go and meet Krishna because they were little afraid of Kamsa. So, that concludes the 23rd chapter. So, today we have discussed monsoon in Vrindavan, Venu Gita, and how Krishna has stolen the garments of the gopis, and we have seen how Krishna blessed the wives of Brahmanas. So tomorrow we will begin Govardhan Leela from the 24th chapter. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.